This is a free download from the BBC. For more information, go to bbc.co.uk/podcasts.
Ho, yo, ho, ho! We wish you all a very reggae Christmas! Hi, this is Ian Lee. Welcome to the first in a series of Christmas special podcasts. This week's podcast will not inform you of anything decent, nor will it entertain, but you will be educated, and after each section of the pod, we will reflect on what you've learned. Are you ready? Steady? Enter the podcast. The Counter-Terror Police have launched a new campaign this morning to encourage the great British public, the good guys, to be their eyes and ears to look out for the bad guys. They want businesses, shopkeepers, to keep an eye out for terrorists. Nice idea. Except, I don't know what a terrorist looks like. And won't this kind of ramp up the air of suspicion that we live in? Our reporter, Matt Lockwood, who's quite a paranoid gentleman at the best of times, has been speaking to people in Aylesbury.
So what do you think a terrorist looks like, then?
Terrorist? Well, based on modern trends, I would say he looks a bit ethnic, probably got a beard. They're not stupid, so I should imagine they would actually try and integrate and make it look like they're a regular guy, so they wouldn't arouse suspicions.
What do you think a terrorist looks like? What would be the profile? Would they be tall or short?
I would say in between. You can't really tell, can you, nowadays?
Would they have a beard?
Not necessarily.
You know. How would they speak?
Well, if they're homegrown, they might not necessarily have an accent, would they?
What do you think a terrorist looks like, then?
I mean, I wouldn't say a race sort, not like that, because it's all changing. Well, yeah, I mean, I always get suspicious if someone's looking shifty and they've got a rucksack or...
Yeah. Like people loitering around a shopping mall with a rucksack and he's not doing any shopping, and then that's what I call suspicious.
At the end of the day, it could be a woman, it could be a man, it could be me, it could be my friend.
You don't know.
You just don't know.
Yeah.
People, you know, they say, oh, it's a Muslim, it's this, it's that,
Islamic.
But it's not.
It could be anyone.
It could be a white person, it could be a black person.
They don't exactly advertise their stuff, do they?
No.
With billboards or anything. So how could the police expect us to be more vigilant?
See, campaigning against it is just...
This is going to stir trouble up even more. You know, like they keep bringing up about that bomber. They're saying she's dead. Well, why say it if they haven't got actual proof? It's just stirring more trouble up. And I just think they should leave it. That's going to do nothing. Only stir more trouble. That's my opinion. That's all I've got to say.
Yeah,
really.
And I totally agree with that.
And not all Islamics are the same. You can't tar everyone with her feathers. Because they think there's one, they treat them all like it. And this is just going to stir up more trouble.
And that's how they miss people, because they're looking for a certain type.
They're barking up
and they're
tree.
Wrong. They are barking up the wrong tree, because, as I say, it could be anybody. And, you know, they expect it to be a Muslim. But, no, I disagree with that.
Best fox ever? Best vox ever?
I think we should send that to Creature Comforts.
I know we have lots of talented people listening. If anybody wants to animate those two women more than they've been animated already, please do. I tell you what we'll do. We'll put that whole package in the podcast. Can we get the last sort of 45 seconds where it's just those two women as well? Just those two, and we'll play that out later on, because that is brilliant, isn't it? Where did Matt find those from? Justin Deeney's got... Deeney's got competition, because that was awesome. Thank you, Matt. We'll have a bit more of that later on. 08459 455 555. It does beg the question, though, what does a terrorist look like? Could someone be
not doing his shopping but having a backpack.
If they got a backpack and they stood in a shopping centre and not doing their shopping, then, I mean, I would suggest that you have to report those people. They might probably got a beard...
They might not, though.
Might not, though. You're right, Kels.
You described me up until the beard.
Well.
And then you started to describe Cam.
I mean, as she said... as she said... it could be a man or a woman. Could be that lady there.
Yeah, it could be.
It could be herself.
Well, is she hiding in plain sight? Is she an Islamist terrorist or any other kind of terrorist? Or those are the ones that are very popular at the moment. Currently, they're number one in the top 10 of terrorism. Kels, we'll put that whole thing in the podcast. Can we get the last minute where it's just those two ladies talking, please? And we'll play that out a bit later on as well.
Yeah, you can tell me off air if you like. Or
you've
just
told
do it
me
on
about
air.
Three times on air.
Or
so
just do it on air.
Okay, I can tell you off air if you want.
Just the two women?
Yeah.
Yeah.
45 seconds. So let's reflect on that one. What do terrorists look like? According to that, they probably have a beard and they're not stupid. Line one called in and expressed his thoughts.
Terrorists are ginger with a beard.
Now on to your next life lesson. In this piece of audio, you'll learn what time Dave and Luton went outside and the useful things you can do with urine. Did I say urine right? Or is it urine?
Say wee-wee.
OK, let me do that again. Now on to our next life lesson. In this piece of audio, you'll learn what time Dave and Luton went outside and the useful things you can do with wee-wee.
You're going to have to take a run-off again.
Do you know what? That'll do. They don't expect standards on this podcast.
Not from me.
Dave from Luton. Good morning to you, Dave. It's so lovely to hear your dulcet, slightly thick tones. What have you got for us this morning?
Good morning, boss. Very nice introduction. Thank you very
much. You get a very nice introduction because you are a very nice deviant, David.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're very, very welcome.
Cool. You're bright and sparky.
Bright and sparky. I'm full of spunk, David.
Oh, really?
Yes, you see, I've had a fantastic weekend, and I've come back to work full of the joys of life.
Right, do me a favour.
Yes, David, anything you want.
Anything, you know, I don't know if you can do it, but this morning at 5:30, I got out and I come outside in the back garden.
What, for a wee-wee?
No.
There's nothing like having a wee in the garden first thing in the morning, is there?
Well, I don't know. I've never tried.
For those people struggling with frosty windscreens this morning, forget your de-icer spray, forget your scrapers.
Yes,
you know this.
Know.
Catherine taught me this trick. Do a wee-wee on the window.
I did not teach you that trick.
You taught me that trick. The warm wee-wee will...
Crack your windscreen.
No, cracks are involved. It will melt the frost and allow you to drive away. Yes,
yeah,
you will have a stinky car.
Oh, yes, but...
Dave, I went in Ian's car last week. There was a strange aroma. I think I know what it might have been.
Oh, yeah. I can well imagine that, Kath.
Try and describe the smell, David.
Well, I don't know.
Try and describe a smell. Go on. And it hard.
You can't describe a smell,
yes,
can
you? Can. Yes, you can.
Kenya?
Yeah, of course you can. Kenya? What does Kenya smell like?
Kenya
West? What does he smell like?
No, I come on the radio.
Kanye West. Put it in a bottle and sell it, Kanye West.
Smells of money.
Oh, here we go.
Put it in a bottle and sell it, Kanye West.
Yeah.
Put it in a bottle and sell it. Everybody wanna smell it. Put it in a bottle and sell it, Kanye West. That's the song for his advert for his own aftershave. It's good, isn't it? It's a good song. I didn't know where that was going. It made me chuckle. It made me chuckle, David. Well, David, thank you so much for calling.
No, I hang on.
I play Evan.
Let's reflect. Dave went into his garden at 5:30. You can wee on a car if it's frozen. Kanye West has a catchy song to sell his aftershave. And I can cut Dave Luton off whenever I want. Moving on. In this clip, you'll learn about DIY and we'll introduce you to a new phrase. Men love DIY jobs. Do they...
Really? Because I end up doing...
DYF? Do they flip?
That doesn't even make sense. It wouldn't be DYF.
DTF. But never mind. Let's gloss over.
Men got most pleasure from success at DIY, a study has found. Have they not... Hang on, what do they mean, like building DIY? A total of 36% said it was a great joy when a task works out.
Hang on, that's 36%. That's less than half.
Fixing an item came second in men's 40 most satisfying things in life. Shut up!
After what?
Women,
bubble wrap?
Women put a money find top.
A what?
Women put a money find top.
Sorry?
Women put a money find top.
Again?
I need the toilet. Women put a money find top.
What does that mean?
Women put a money find top.
They're just a load of words that you put together.
It's a sentence!
Do they mean finding money?
Women put a money find top, then cooking something great.
Because I was thinking, I haven't got a top, a money find top.
Moldable.
Top and it's got a lot of money find.
So the top 10, men's top 10, right, in reverse order. These, I don't know what this is a top 10 of, though, of satisfying
things.
Right. Number 10, getting an unexpected parcel. Oh, I got more points on my licence this weekend. I'm up to nine now. What do I win? Number 10, getting an unexpected parcel.
You win a taxi.
Number 9, opening jars after others have failed. That's a good one. That is satisfying.
Yeah, but they've obviously loosened it.
Shut up. Waking up, number 8, waking up thinking it's a work day, but realising it's a weekend. This is good.
Work weekends.
Number 7, putting furniture together without help. I'm all right. Number 6, the 6th most satisfying thing for a man is popping bubble wrap.
And woman.
Popping woman?
Popping women.
Bubble wrap.
Number 5.
My kids call them pop-pops.
My kids call something else pop-pops. Are you me today?
I think so.
Either I'm you or you're me.
God. Digital divs.
Number 5, cooking something great. Number 4, getting TV quiz answers right. Yeah, I love that. I love that. That's a good one.
Yeah, only if it's a university challenge, though.
Number 3, finding money. Number 2, fixing something. And number 1, man's top most satisfying thing is DIY working out.
Yeah. Is this sponsored by B&Q?
Women put a money finds top.
Let's have another think about that. The new phrase you learnt there was, women put a money find top. What? Even though we're educating you throughout this podcast, we don't know what that actually means. In this next bit, you'll learn some stuff about some stuff.
Superfan Teresa Young has been to 331 shows by her favourite comedian. Guess who tis?
McIntyre.
No. Funnier.
Chubby Brown.
Not quite as funny. Davidson.
Jethro.
Davidson. Jim Davidson. 331 Jim Davidson shows.
Good grief.
She's averaged nearly 10 gigs a year since first seeing Jim in 1979 and plans to be at the Comics Next show in Surrey next month.
That's normal.
Teresa, 53, of Cardiff, says Jim is the... What's a Welsh accent? Jim is the best comedian in the world. Is a word?
No.
I live in Wales. Jim is the best comedian in the world. He is also the most loving, caring and nicest man I've ever met.
Oh.
You tell that to his first 5 wives. Teresa revealed Jim, 60, had helped her cope with cancer. Oh. She added, I'm from Wales. Jim is my rock.
Mean, like as a carer?
Jim is my rock. He cheers me up no end. He keeps me going.
Right.
Well, nice little twist. You right, Kels? Good at accents, isn't it?
Yeah, you are.
Thank you, mate.
I have to keep looking up to check it's you.
Yeah, I know.
And today would not be complete if we didn't cover this story.
Oh, yeah, go on.
A heavily pregnant woman and her partner caught trying to induce themselves while waiting to be induced. A couple were discovered by a cleaner. Discovered. Oh, where did I leave my mop?
Not there.
The couple were discovered by a cleaner who heard noises coming from a private room on the maternity ward. The clue's in the title. Private room, please knock.
Not before entering. Let's hope he did.
The worker told hospital bosses, wow, won't adopt them in, but was informed there are no rules against having sex on the ward at St Michael's Hospital in Bristol.
They encourage it.
Just in case
it.
You were wondering.
They encourage it.
In Bristol?
Bristol
so
City.
How would they sound, Ian?
No.
They encourage it. When if this is a fact, yes. Okay, and you should know this.
I do.
You are told if your baby is late, either have a curry or have it off.
My babies were both 10 or 11 days late.
What did you have?
Gelfrezzi.
So let's reflect. There's a woman who finds Jim Davidson funny, and Kath prefers curry.
You'll learn a lot from this next caller, and that's all I'm saying.
Yes, hello.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not from beds and...
You shouldn't be. This is a voice from the past. Katia, why don't you tell the boys and girls what you do for a living?
I do engraving.
What do you engrave?
Lots of metal things.
What's the metal that you tend to engrave the most?
Listen, I'm not going to say because...
She's a gun engraver.
Katia.
She engraves the guns.
No.
How does that make you feel, Katia, knowing that your work, your artistic work, could be used by deviants and murderers?
Hang on, Katia. So if there is a bullet with my name on it, you put it there.
No, listen. First of all, I'm so happy to be on the BBC. It's the first time ever in my life.
Big day.
It could be the last time as well, Katia. You're from Lincoln. You shouldn't be listening to this radio station.
I know. I'm crossing the threshold.
You're crossing the streams.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if it's a good enough call for you to warrant listening or not.
OK, what I wanted to say...
Your English has improved since I spoke to you 6 years ago.
Well, it's just, yes, because here in Lincolnshire, we've got English people, and I listen to them.
That would be it.
Good point.
That's how sounding a little bit... I'm not going to say
it. It did sound a little bit cuttier, yes. Well, you Belgians are, though, aren't you?
No, listen...
you worship a statue of a boy urinating. What kind of country is that?
That's a bit shameful, really.
Isn't it, just?
Katia, are you a Walloon?
I am, yes. Ah. How do you know that?
Because you don't have a Frenchy twang to your voice, okay. So it could only be a Walloon.
Catherine speaks many different languages.
I don't speak that Flemish.
Well, Katia, can I ask, are you in a bad mood?
I'm not in a bad mood.
All right, I'm just asking.
OK, listen, I'm here to make a serious phone call, actually.
OK, right.
About the front pages.
OK.
What I wanted to say, really, is going to be a little bit Mary Whitehouse, isn't it? But
isn't it just?
Get rid of them.
What?
I don't understand it. I tell you what, the first time I came to England and I saw them, I was well shocked.
I was well shocked. Yeah. Oh, I missed you, Katia. Yes.
Yeah. I want to say boobs is not news.
Say that again.
Okay, but boobs is not news, really.
Just say boobs is not news.
I've said it already.
Just say, sorry, we couldn't hear you there.
Okay. So boobs is not news.
Thank you, Katia.
Okay, thank you.
You can carry on and make your point now, please.
Okay, but so... really, it's not serious. When you come from another country and you see that, you're like, are they taking the Mickey or something? You know, put that away. Or on a specialised kind of magazine. Yes, I'm all for that. Well,
but you have some cheeky fun in Belgium, don't you?
Yes, we have.
I saw Eurotrash. There was a singer called Willie.
Yeah, but not on the newspaper. That's the thing. What's that all about? You see? That's my point. So anyway, that's what I think. Get rid of them. Thank you.
All ringers again, please.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Can I just give you my personal mobile number? Hello?
That's a no.
Hello?
So, let's reflect. Boobs is not news. Are you writing all this down, dear podcaster? Boobs is not news.
Martha and Milton Keynes called in with some very good educational points.
Sex is everywhere. Even on a telly, in the middle of the newspapers, on Celebrity Get Me Out of Here, and my young grandson was reading a book the other day, and he's 13, and my daughter's had the school's told her to teach him about sex, and he sent her she gets questions like, the other day, Mum, what's a blown jump? And then, what do two men do?
Okay.
And he's 13 year old. He can't even put the telly on.
He can't even put the telly on!
Listen!
Martha, right, listen, I just have to... Because you said a phrase there that we not really are allowed to say on the breakfast radio. This is the second apology in a day.
This is freedom of speech. I'm only telling you what.
No, I know, but we can't say that you said a two-word phrase that we... So apologies if anyone's offended, and I hope it's not caused awkward conversations, but the 13-year-old grandson can't even turn on the telly. Well, if he knows how to do that, he won't need to turn the telly on, will he?
He doesn't know how to do that. That's the thing.
Right.
It's disgusting, no matter where you look, even in Celebrity Get Me Out of Here.
What?
Standing on that chair, half naked.
Yeah.
You're afraid your child's going to see it.
But people shower naked, don't they?
Yeah, but not in front of millions on a screen. A child could be sitting watching that.
Well, it's on quite late, Celebrity, isn't it?
Sorry?
Isn't Celebrity on quite late? I don't watch it myself.
No, it's on several times.
Yeah, are all those times quite late?
No.
What time is it on?
Well, it's on about 3 times in the evening.
And what time?
I'm not really sure, but I watch it now and again.
They asked me to do that. Can you believe it? You'd like to see me shower naked, wouldn't you, Martha?
God.
Is that a yes?
No, thank you very much. I've seen that and done that, so I'm not interested.
Oh, you're not Martha and Milton Keynes, are you?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't make the connection. Nice to hear from you again. Why didn't you call me?
Oh, God, there's no talking to you, is there? You're always right. And then I listened to you a while ago, and you were ranting at that lady. It's not my fault, not my fault.
Which lady?
Oh, the one that made the call before me.
That was Catherine, I think.
I think so, yeah.
No, would you rather talk to Catherine? Would that calm things down if you spoke to Catherine?
No, I wanted to speak to you. It's got nothing to do with Catherine.
Keep out of this, Catherine, nothing to do with you.
Hey, I don't know why I'm being brought into this.
So, I'm sorry about Catherine, Martha. She's bang out of order, isn't she?
I'd love to give you a slap.
Sorry?
I'd love to give you a slap.
You ought to bring sex into everything, haven't you? So, let's reflect. Sex is everywhere, even in books.
Your next lesson in this podcast is don't use stupid comparisons because Ian will pwn you, Brian.
Brian Gregory is director of the Alliance of British Drivers. Morning, Brian.
Good morning, Ian.
124 miles per hour on a dual carriageway. Can that ever be acceptable?
It's difficult to know the circumstances, but it sounds as if this road is quite empty at times. Now, I accept we haven't set a 70-mile-an-hour speed limit, but it is not abided by. It's well known that it's too low. The 85th percentile is above, and significantly above, 70 miles an hour. I'm not necessarily going to condone what this guy is doing, but what I would say is there's large stretches of road in Germany with a similar configuration to dual carriageways in Berkhamsted, where you can do whatever speed you like legally.
That's Germany. That's not here, though, is it? Are you saying that 124 miles per hour is acceptable?
It's certainly against the law, but I think the key point that the guy made before was he said, doing 124 miles an hour, if you make a mistake, you're dead. So we're gonna fine and we're going to imprison people based on what they might have done rather than what they have done.
Well, no, what he has done is he's broken the law.
He has broken the law, but the thing here, to me, about penalties on motorists is they're disproportionate in relation to other offences. There are people now going into pubs and smashing other people's faces in and getting away with cautions.
I don't like the comparison. All that means is we need to change the law around people who go in and smash. I'll explain why. It doesn't necessarily mean that the driving laws are wrong. It just would imply that the smashing people in the face in pubs law is wrong. 40 days.
I think you need to look at the proportionality.
The comparison doesn't work, Brian. It just shows
why
that.
Not?
I'll explain again. It just shows that one law is wrong. It doesn't necessarily mean that both laws are wrong.
Well, you need to evaluate the situation with both. I mean, you know, somebody does 124 and there's no outcome other than they broke the technical speed limit. If you go
by
into
quite
a pub
some way
and Brian, deliberately assault somebody, you actually cause occasioned bodily harm.
Brian, the comparison thing doesn't work. I'll explain one more time.
I don't accept your objection.
No, all that means is, Brian, that the punishment for going into pubs and smashing people in the face is wrong. That doesn't mean that the driving punishments are wrong.
Well, you see, it's not even a suspicion, it's a certainty that now, in terms of motorists, it's how much you can actually extract from the motorist for offences, which is the key. It's all about chasing the money now. It's not really got a lot to do with road safety.
So 124 miles per hour on a dual carriageway in your head, despite the fact it's illegal, that's an acceptable speed?
Well, I have done those speeds in Germany safely.
But
myself.
We're not in Germany, Brian. We're in England. That's acceptable.
I know that, but Germany is not that different. It's a developed Western country like ourselves.
OK, so you think that speed is acceptable?
I think that with the right training, it's possible for drivers to do that, but I'm not saying that we should just have anarchy on the roads and just say we'll take all speed limits.
Well, this guy, I would assume this guy didn't have the right...
Train road users better.
Yeah, I would assume this guy didn't have the right training.
Well, you don't know that, do you? I don't know that. He might have been a Class 1 police driver at one time.
Well, let's assume for a second that he didn't have the right training. Is it acceptable then?
On an empty road, is he actually doing a great deal of harm beyond breaking a technical speed limit?
Okay.
He didn't have a crash, he didn't kill somebody, and
thank
what
God.
He's been imprisoned and fined for is what he might have done.
But he's not gone to prison.
I thought, he got 40, well, sorry, he's got a ban, hasn't he, for
he's
40
got a ban
days.
Of 40 days.
We're asking, should he go to prison?
He's got a ban of 40 days and a £3,000 fine. In the great scheme of things, that's nothing, is it, really?
Well, it's rather a lot of money.
I'm assuming he's got a pretty decent car if it goes 124 miles an hour.
That it's now actually it's about how much can you afford to pay rather than how serious is the offence.
40-day fine though, it'll give him time to cool off and think, won't it?
Well, it may well do, and you may well go and seek some training from somebody, you know, who can give advanced driver training.
Well, let's hope he goes and does that. Brian, nice to talk to you. We'll get you back again. That was good fun. I enjoyed that. I hope you did too. Brian Gregory. So let's reflect. 124 miles per hour is fast. I'm now going to give you some law training via this clip.
The gentleman who said about the man not actually doing anything wrong, and I totally agree with him.
That was Brian Gregory, the director of the Alliance of British Drivers, yes.
Yeah, why does the government think it's fine? That's the wrong word. Why do they think it's okay to penalise motorists when they're not actually doing anything wrong? Why
apart from breaking the law.
Yeah, well, no, but that's the whole point. They're not actually doing anything wrong.
Apart from breaking the law.
Yep, yeah, a stupid law. Well, they're not doing anything wrong.
You may think it's a stupid law, but that's the law.
They should come down on people who actually do things wrong. So
he's done something wrong. He broke the law. He broke the law, Steve.
Yeah, but it's crazy. It's not a law that should be there in the first place. Let me explain. If whilst you're doing 125 mile an hour,
yeah,
you come off and or you hit someone or you do some damage, yeah, then that should be the law that's broken. If you get from A to B at 200 mile an hour and you don't inconvenience anyone else, then you shouldn't be prosecuted for it. You've done nothing wrong. It's the same with drink driving, isn't it? You can get in a car and you can be over the limit, but you've not done anything wrong.
All right, they're Steve, so what if I fancy going in Tesco's and I'll wave a gun around, but I don't shoot anyone, so that's fair enough, is it?
No, because that's terrorising someone. You've done something wrong. That is wrong. But if you get in a car and you're over the limit, but you don't do anything wrong,
wow,
you could drive better than someone who's under the limit, who is a complete idiot, or is 75 years old and can't see out their windscreen, and are going all over the road. But they will penalise you when you could have driven perfectly fine. But what they've got to do is clamp down on when you've actually done something wrong. So if you get in and you've had two glasses of wine, you're slightly over the limit and you kill someone, then you should be locked up for life. That is where the penalty should be, not for just in case you might do something.
Steve, can I make you this show's official naughty driving correspondent?
By all means.
We'll keep his... Seriously, thank you, Steve. Keep his name and number on the books, because we'll get him on again.
So let's reflect. We now have a naughty driver correspondent. Moving on. The ex-cabinet minister, David Miller, had an argument with a cab driver this week. So Ian and Kath acted it out for you. So take notes. This is how to act.
Shut up, you stupid, sweaty little git.
Oh.
Said David Miller,
apparently.
Who remembers the name of the lady?
Me.
And me. Tory grandee David Mellor launched a foul-mouthed attack on a cabbie in a row over the quickest route. Well, Catherine and I will be acting out the...
exchange.
The exchange a little bit later on in the show. Millionaire. See, what's happening here is that they're linking this in with Emily Thornberry, and it's now them versus us.
I wondered why they called him a grandee, and then they called him a millionaire.
Yeah, it's them versus us, except I'm probably one of them. I think you might be one of them as well. You're certainly not us. Millionaire ex-cabinet minister Mellor, 65, told him to shut up before branding him a little sweaty, stupid... and a smart-ass little git. The black cab driver gave The Sun a recording of the F-word rant after Labour's Emily Thornberry was forced to quit for sneering at a white vamo.
Oh, hang on. Where did that come from?
Don't see how that sentence works.
But did they give them the entire recording?
No.
What did they give them, Ian?
Well, maybe it was the entire recording, but it's only half of the conversation. Oh. We don't know what the... It starts off with the... Who do you want to be, the cabbie or Mellor?
I'll be the cabbie. He's okay. The goodie, right?
There are no goodies in this. Come around here. Come and sit on my lap.
No, I'm not sitting on that.
Come and sit here.
Hang on.
Oh. Right.
Hang on.
Oh, you don't need headphones, mate.
I like to be able to hear myself.
It's not the Archers.
It can be. Should we do it like the Archers?
I do hope that... Yeah, go on. I'll be an out-of-breath man.
We've all got to be out of breath.
Right.
I don't have to get talked to like that. I'm presuming I've got to talk a bit of Eliza.
Yeah, well, why don't you read the script?
I know who I'm talking to. You're David Meller. So what?
I don't want a load of back chat. Just drive me there and don't think even with the limited supervision that you guys have there. I can't take a lot of fuss from you. Don't you talk to me like this. I'm a Queen's Counsel for all these years. And don't ruin our day. Just drive a sensible way. I don't want to know how much you know about London because you don't know as much about London as I do. Take me the way I want to go, OK? Because that's part of what you're supposed to do.
I don't have to get talked to like that.
I'd think carefully if I were you.
You don't intimidate me.
I'm not trying to intimidate you.
You are.
I'm just sick of having to be in the same cab as you.
Listen, you got in here and then you start telling me which way to go and I said, look, it's Friday
Exposition.
Night. It's 10 to 6. You may have lived in London 40 years or however long, but I've been driving a cab for 10 years.
You've been driving a cab for 10 years. I've been in the cabinet. I'm an award-winning broadcaster. I'm a Queen's Counsel. You think that your experiences are anything compared to mine? Just shut up, for Christ's sakes. Drive whichever way you want to go and keep a civil tongue in your head and don't give me a lot of bleep.
You want to calm down?
Of course you could apologise. I don't suppose a guy like you does apologise, do you? Because you think you're a big bleep. Having driven a cab for 10 years, you don't need to worry about someone who's been in the cabinet, who's an award-winning broadcaster, who's a Queen's Counsel. Treat me like bleep. Ruin my wife's day. She's been to the palace and been awarded a major award. You bleep up our day. Does that give you pleasure?
To be honest with you, Mr. Mellor,
I don't want to hear about you being honest, and if you think you're going to be sarky with me, get a better education. So, if you're not going to say you're sorry, shut the bleep up, and you, cab number, listen to Ken and I tomorrow. You're going to get a bleeping bucket full. I have so many cabbies. I didn't swear then, did I?
No.
I have so many cabbies. When I get in the cab, they listen to my show and are proud to do so. I'm going to tell them what you've done. Uber is going to be my thing now.
To be honest,
I don't want to hear from you. Shut the bleep up.
If you've had a bad experience, I'll apologise, but to be honest, I think...
I don't want to hear this. Do you understand? Shut up. You either say you're really sorry, you're a little guy who will learn when you grow older, or you shut the bleep up. And don't ruin my day anymore. Your choice. But tomorrow, tomorrow, cab number, you're getting it on LBC before... What? Oh, before about 300,000 or 400,000 people.
Well, I've apologised.
I don't want to hear any more from you. You've bleeped up our day. How dare you, you smart-ass little bleep. How dare you? I can deal with you, but now she's upset. All you had to do was drive us back in a sensible way instead of being smart-assed. What's that to be proud of? Anyway, cab driver, you tune in tomorrow from 10, and a lot of your friends listen to my programme and know I'm a big supporter of black cabs. Do you think they're going to say wonderful, clever little guy? Because they're not. I'm going to tell them I'm supporting Uber from now on, and that's all because of you. And enjoy tomorrow, because I will. Take a right here.
Okay. Right again.
Yeah. See what you've done to her. She's telling me I've ruined her day. You bleeping ruined her day. She's been at Buckingham Palace. She's seen Prince Charles, received a major award, and you smart-ass little git have ruined her day. Are you proud of yourself? You've been a taxi driver for 10 years and such a great guy, and I have to pay £30 for the limited privilege of being in your flipping cab. Do you get... Do you get any of this, my little friend? My little friend? Or do you need me to tell you tomorrow on the radio what a sweaty, stupid little bleep you are?
Sorry.
Stop here by the red light, then you can bleep off and understand that you've ruined our day. Stop here, cab driver! You're going to go down in history as having turned London's biggest black cab supporter into an Uber supporter. And I'm going to say that on LBC Radio tomorrow. And you've got anyone you respect in the cab trade? Because you won't take it from me. You've done it for 10 years. What about the people who've done it for 30 years? You've done them no bleeping favours. Got anything to say?
I think you've got the wrong end of the stick, sir.
You are a sarky bleep! And you're going to get it! How much is it?
£29.
What's your name? I can't call your number. What do you want to give me? Do you want to give me your name when I refer to you tomorrow?
Brian?
Brian what?
Bleep.
Right, Brian Bleep. Listen in tomorrow and learn something. I've learned that younger cab drivers should not be driving black cabs. You should be in something, in a flipping, what? You should be in some bleeping minicab.
Thank you.
So let's reflect. That bit went on too long. Here's how to do a good prank call.
Morning, Ian.
Good morning, Albert.
How are you?
I really need to wee.
Oh, well, you best go then.
I'm not going to leave you unattended on the air, Albert. Number one, I always have to ride the fader when you're on. I have to ride it hard.
Oh, that's the talk. I was going to talk to you about my cycling because I'm a keen cyclist, and so is my late wife.
Okay, hello? So you don't already. I'm nervous. So you don't hate cyclists then?
No, of course not. I'm a keen cyclist. We used to ride our tandem up and down towpaths all the time. We were very conscientious about the people walking.
Yeah.
We wouldn't pull a wheelie unless anyone was out of the way.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't believe the amount of abuse that we got off people just for cycling.
Really?
There was some guy on a towpath. I can't use the exact language on the radio, obviously, no. But the gist of it was he yelled at us as we went by, "Oh, you great airy whatever."
Yeah.
I said, don't talk to my wife like that. She's got a medical condition.
Oh, dear.
It wasn't very kind,
no,
I thought.
No,
so we had to pimp our bike.
What?
Well, we had to pimp it. You know that show, Pimp Me Car?
Yes.
We pimped our bike.
What
just
did you
to
do
make
to
sure.
it?
Well, put a bit of razor wire on the front and back.
Dear.
Swapped out the bell for an air horn.
Yeah.
Then we put little spikes on the wheels.
Oh, dear.
It was a bit like James Bond's Aston Martin, but in tandem form.
Can I ask, Albert, if it's not too inappropriate a question, how did you lose your wife?
Well, she fell into a meat grinder. I'd rather you didn't bring it up, to be honest. It's a bit raw.
Sorry about that. So let's reflect. That's Albert. This is a lesson in how to get yourself out of a hole.
Morning, Ian.
Ah, you saw the paedophile programme that was on last night. We talked about it on the show yesterday.
Oh, right, yeah.
I've not got round to seeing it. I'm going to try and watch it this week.
I really felt for that guy last night. I really did, because I know him and help and work in a group with people of same-sex attraction who have the same problem. All they're told is, go out and live it. But they don't want to. They don't want that attraction. They can't help it. They've got it. There's nothing, not much you can do about it. You can't solve it. You can't go on a course and clean people of it.
How do you help? So you work with gay people who don't want to be gay.
Yeah.
How what help do you offer them?
It's a variety of things. Some people, there are different organisations. Some work it through because some of the people are of faith, so they don't want to practice it because of their faith. Other people just have it because they just believe in, like that guy with the paedophile understands to him that it's wrong. It shouldn't have this feeling because it's outside the norm, if you like, outside nature's norm.
Yeah.
That's how they say it. They say, I don't want it. I don't fully understand as a man, a heterosexual man, the feelings of someone who wants to be attracted to somebody of the same sex or a child. I don't fully get it, but there are people out there who don't want it and they just need help. They need somebody to talk to, basically.
What's your background, Peter?
My background is nothing. I help in with this organisation. I don't want to say who they are because I'm not a spokesman for them.
So you're just a bloke, heterosexual bloke. What practical help do you offer a gay person who doesn't want to be gay because it's not, to quote you, normal?
Well, there is a member of my family who is, so that's how we got involved with it. So we did it with help for ourselves, my wife and myself. But for them, it's having, if they want to go and practice their attraction, they need somebody who they can just phone up and talk to or meet, and we meet once a month anyway as a group.
I'm sorry to pressure you, but what help do you offer them?
I
come to you. I'm a gay man, right? But I don't want to be gay. What are you going to do for me, Peter?
For me personally, obviously, because I don't have that attraction, but I can put people in touch with other people who have that same attraction.
You're putting gay people who don't want to be gay in touch with other gay people?
No, with other people.
It sounds like fun.
With other people who have same-sex attraction who don't want it. So therefore, they can meet together and find out ways of dealing with it, basically.
Well, what ways are there of dealing with it? This is what I'm trying to get to.
Some do it through, as I said, through faith, and others...
Because they can't be turned straight, can they?
No. That's what I said at the beginning. I said you can't. It's not something you can just get rid of. You can go on a course and as you say, turn straight. They will always have these feelings all their life. If they've got other people to talk to and try to understand how not to then obviously there are people who deal with it in many different ways and how not.
The ultimate goal is to still remain gay but not be sexual.
Well, they don't. Yeah, they don't remain gay. They have an attraction and there's nothing you can do about it. You can't take it away.
They're still gay at the end of the process.
Yes.
But you have helped them stop
sex. They believe even within themselves that from their feeling that it's they've got it, but there's nothing they can do about it, but they don't like it because they believe it's not natural.
Right. Believe it's natural?
Just by the same order, that's why I wanted to talk about the paedophile guy.
Oh.
He feels the same way. He has this attraction to children. We can't understand it fully. There's nowhere for him to go.
Do you think that being gay is normal?
Do I think that being having same-sex attraction is normal? Personally, no, I don't.
Where did that come from? Why do you think that? Is that religious?
It's both. I wasn't anything of faith until I was about late 30s. So my attitude to homosexuality...
Could you be described as a born-again Christian?
Well, if that's the term you want to use, yes.
Well, I don't know. I'm just trying to find out.
What people would say. But I can tell you, before that, when I was in the forces in the 70s and 80s, my attitude to homosexuals was put them against the wall and shoot them. That was my attitude then. My attitude is completely different now.
Well, in some ways it's different in that you don't want to shoot them, and that's, I guess, is going to be a bonus. But,
But there are, Ian, there are people out there. I'm not trying to convert anybody or change anybody. They've got this attraction. They can't do anything about it. Same as the paedophile guy.
I'm slightly uncomfortable with the. And I know why you're saying this. Okay, I know what you want to say.
You don't think that same-sex attraction
what I want to say. I'm trying to dig you out of a hole because you're mentioning paedophiles and gays in the same sentence. I know why you're doing it, there will be people listening who can't quite join the dots as we are joining the dots. Peter.
The reason I want to join. I knew you'd say that because you're trying to say you can't put them in the same bracket.
Peter, I'm trying to dig you out of a hole because I can hear what you're saying. You are not saying that gay men are more likely to be paedophiles, are you?
No, those two don't necessarily. They might go together, but not necessarily. As that Ian guy said, he has the feelings for women, quite, as you say, normal.
Peter,
but he also has.
We've only got a minute left, okay? Right. And I've dug you out of a hole. Don't.
I'm not dug in a hole at all.
No, you have, because there'll be some people listening who won't quite have heard what you said. So I've dug you out of a hole. Fall in anymore. Wouldn't it be better, instead of helping gay people to not be sexual, wouldn't it be better and more productive to help them realise that there's nothing wrong with being gay, that they don't have to live in shame, they don't have to deny who they are, and that being gay is a perfectly wonderful, beautiful, natural thing that happens throughout the whole animal kingdom, throughout all humankind, and that they shouldn't be ashamed of what they are?
But that's not the case for them. They don't believe that.
Shouldn't we be helping them believe that?
No, I don't help them believe that.
You don't. Shouldn't we be helping them believe that?
Not from their point of view, but they say that themselves.
They don't believe that. I'm going to try again. Shouldn't we be helping them believe that?
Not necessarily, no.
Why?
Because if you try and force that upon them, if they don't want it, then you're not helping them, are you?
No, you're not listening. I've got 15 seconds. I'm not saying should we force them to go around having it away with each other. Shouldn't we help them believe, through education, that being gay is not a shameful thing? It's actually a very natural thing.
No, we shouldn't.
So let's reflect. I was right. Here, you'll learn how to boggle someone's mind. Animal rights activists, always sticking their noses in where it's not wanted. Sometimes where it's wanted, but it's not wanted here.
Where are they sticking it?
Switzerland. Animal rights activists are urging Swiss families to ditch a popular Christmas dish. Get this, Just, you'd like this.
Go on.
Roast cat in a wine and garlic sauce.
What?
Beautiful. Just?
Are you serious about this?
What do you mean?
That's what they eat.
Animal rights activists... The headline is A La Cat Menu. Very clever. Mm-hmm. Animal rights activists are urging Swiss families to ditch a popular Christmas dish, roast cat in a wine and garlic sauce.
Is it really cat, though? Is it really cat?
Well, you think they might be stealing local sheep and using those instead?
There can't be anybody on this planet who eats pussycats. I don't get it. Hot dogs, yeah, obviously. Not a real dog.
It's the Swiss. Now, the thing is, Steady...
The Swiss are normally so sensible.
That's what I think, yeah.
Well, the Swiss, as we all know, are cowards. Not cowards, pacifists, I'm so sorry. But, what the thing is, I don't understand, what's your beef with eating cat?
Oh, don't... don't even go there.
We've actually
hit a raw nerve.
We've touched a nerve.
Yeah, I like pussycats. I've always liked them. And I think anybody who eats them, especially at Christmas, that is just sick.
Especially at Christmas!
They don't know it's Christmas.
Come on, it's sick.
But if there was one, if you ate it in the summer, you'd kind of...
Listen, I don't agree with it at any time. But
especially at Christmas, that makes it worse.
That shocked me as well.
But do you not like sheep? Lambs are so cute, aren't they?
Yeah, but they're not pets, are they?
For some people they are.
Not for me.
So because we... Okay, supposing it was a feral cat.
Yeah.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Wildcat.
Supposing it was a wildcat, would you eat a wildcat?
No.
Why? Because that's not a pet. Wild.
Because I like pussycats. That's why.
What if the cat came up to you and said, Dealey, I don't think you're looking good today. Yeah. I think your hair's a bit of a mess. Yep. And
it's not
arrogant
a cartoon.
Cat. Arrogant cat.
It's just really arrogant.
Arrogant cat. But that's what I like about cats, actually, that they are quite arrogant.
Yeah.
They are the boss.
But that's the reason you don't like dolphins.
No, my love for dolphins has now come back. I had an experience about 6 months ago.
With a blowhole?
yes, and my love for dolphins is back. But I can't believe that people now, in the year 2000...
What about a meerkat?
A meerkat?
You think they're arrogant since the adverts? Would you eat a meerkat for Christmas?
There was another animal you called arrogant the other day. What was that that you turned against?
Pigeons?
Pigeons.
They are arrogant, come on. They ignore the signs all the time. And they just cause chaos.
OK, OK. So...
I can't believe the pigeons ignore the no-chaos sign. It's crazy.
You were asking me this morning how to blow up a pigeon.
No. I was asking you for research purposes. There's a difference there. Some people do that. Those people are sick individuals. The sort of individuals that probably eat pussycat for Christmas.
The thing is, right, if I... OK, you and I... You are on a desert island.
Mm-hmm.
OK? There's nothing there. It's literally just one of those little mounds of sand and a palm tree. But you can't eat the palm tree. It's toxic. And you can't eat the fish that are in the sea because that sea is poisonous. There's been a nuclear war.
Yeah.
The only thing on that desert little mound of sand with you is a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Would you kill the cat and eat it?
What I would do in that situation, I would have to eat to stay alive. That's different, but I couldn't kill the cat myself.
Who's going to kill the cat for you?
I would find somebody else.
There's no one on the island. It's on a mound of sand.
You're going to wait for the cat to die of natural causes?
I'd probably have no option but to kill the cat and eat the cat.
So you would... No. So hang on.
On Christmas Day, I've got options.
You are totally up for killing a cat and eating it. And yet the Swiss are the sick ones?
So if I was on a desert island...
The mind boggles, Justin.
Come on.
The mind boggles. Doesn't it? The mind boggles. Doesn't it? Seriously, the mind boggles. Seriously, Justin.
Okay.
Talk to you and the mind boggles.
Quite finished?
No, one more. The mind boggles.
Good point, well made.
Should we talk about that squirrel story?
Yeah, go on.
I haven't got it. You've got it in there.
I haven't got it.
There's a school in...
Town in Gridflock to rescue a pigeon?
No, you know the story, don't you, Justin?
It's in Watford, yes.
School in Watford. The children were told that they had to get back in the classrooms. No one go outside. Why? There's a wild animal out there. What wild animal? a lion? A leopard? Maybe a cat? Feral?
They know it's a squirrel because you said the squirrel story.
It's a squirrel
story.
And apparently it's a slasher. It scratched a teacher.
Whoa!
So now the caretaker's being extra vigilant and the children aren't allowed to freedom to roam.
This is a squirrel we're talking about here, guys. A squirrel, a terrifying squirrel on the loose in Hertfordshire. So what am I taking to the streets? The squirrel?
Yeah, sure, why not?
When animals attack.
And
when
also, you can attack. Also for later on, would you ever eat a cat?
Well, I know what people are going to say to that.
No, you don't, mate. You know what you would like people to say to that.
You can give them the scenario we gave you.
I won't give them that. I'll ask them, would you eat a pussycat
for
Christmas
People think
Day?
They wouldn't, but they definitely would.
No, don't, because you're now waiting the question. Would you eat a cat on Christmas Day? Come on, Justin.
That's the story, though, isn't it?
Yeah, no,
so we're changing the story, are we?
Yeah, we are with the BBC. We're allowed to do that.
Okay. I'll change the story.
Do you know what happens to my mind when I speak to you?
It boggles.
It boggles.
So let's reflect. The mind... It boggles. Here's a lesson in ragga music.
Lelsey's in Luton. Morning, Lelsey.
Lovely.
I'm Ian. Nice to meet you, Lelsey.
Nice to meet you too, Ian. Wagwan.
Wagwan, Lelsey. Leslie! I'm so sorry. Lely. It was written incorrectly on the screen. You're on Fizzler 1. Lelsey. What have you got for us, Lels? Les!
No, that geezer that phoned up earlier.
The geezer?
Yeah, he was 100% right about the music you are playing.
Geezer? Sorry?
Yeah.
The what? The
Geezer? The Geezer, yeah.
Geezer? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Paul phoned up to say that we shouldn't be playing music.
That we're not allowed.
We're not allowed to play music.
No, you can play music as long as you play the right music.
He said we're not allowed to play music.
Did he know?
Yes.
Oh.
But you think we can play music?
Of course, as long as you're playing my type of music.
What kind of music do you like?
Well, reggae.
Reggae music?
Yeah.
Why do you like reggae music?
Oh, Christ, it's in my jeans, not the one I'm wearing.
Hey! Hey! He did a jean joke. The jean genie, she loves Leslie. Would you like a little bit of ragga? Are you ragamuffin style? I'm on a ragga tip at the moment. I'm feeling ragamuffin styly.
Well, put one on.
Okay, here we go.
It will wake the Jamaican community up.
Let's wake the lazy Jamaican community up, shall we? When I say lazy, I'm not. For goodness sakes.
Ian, shall I sing your song?
Oh, sweet, sweet mama, yes.
Okay. Tell me when to go.
Ready.
Hello?
I'm just getting it, getting the atmosphere. I'm getting the vibe ready.
Uh-huh.
Ready.
Ready. Oh, go on.
Ready. This is how they do. This is how orchestras start music.
Oh.
Ready.
Uh-huh.
Ready. Steady. Go.
Don't play your rock and roll to me. That ain't the way it's meant to be. I'm not so blind, but I can see. Don't play your rock and roll to me. You like that one?
That is the worst singing I have ever heard in my life. Should we have a real... name me a famous reggae star, and we'll play one of their tunes.
All right, I'm not going to go down the ragga.
You're not on a ragga? Well, I'm on a ragga tip. Do I need to go off my...
Play me a Dennis Brown.
Here we go.
Well, this is Chucky Star, alongside Sid Owen. How are we keeping the vibes flowing?
Oh, see that girl. She does something to my chemistry. Now let's see. When I'm close, I'm sure she raised my temperature by
Leslie?
3 degrees.
Leslie, we haven't got Dennis Brown, but we've got Sid Owen.
Every day,
this is reggae music, yeah.
In every wish she made,
yeah, this is reggae.
My model goes.
It's working for me.
Not working for Paul and Biggleswade.
And I reciprocate.
Leslie, you like this?
My life I did.
Leslie?
Yeah.
You like this? Sid Owen?
Yeah.
Here we go.
We got a good thing going. A real good Sid Owen.
Yeah, that girl and me.
You like it, Les?
Yep.
You like this kind of reggae?
Yeah, 70s music.
This was the late 90s. It's Sid Owen. It's Ricky from EastEnders.
Ricky! Singing about Bianca.
It's Ricky from EastEnders, Les.
Really? I don't watch EastEnders.
Okay.
I think they should take that programme off the TV.
They should take that programme off and give them all recording careers if they make songs as good as this.
Really?
Yay!
For you know not what to do.
You know what I'm talking about, Jess?
Oh, do you know what? The video to this song as well was even better.
It was filmed in Bedford, wasn't it? On the beach.
I think it was in Bedford on the beach. Yeah, great record.
Beautiful. Leslie? Yeah.
Hello.
Thank you so much for that.
No problem. Speak to you soon.
Yeah, see you later, fella. Ta-ta.
You know what that made me do, don't you?
Go on.
The Dutty Wine.
The what? Show me the Dutty Wine.
That is Dutty.
I'm Boogling.
Boogling?
I'm Boogling.
What does that mean?
It's that, isn't it?
Oh, wow.
You're
bumping, grinding.
Yeah.
So let's reflect. Sid Owen happened. Now a lesson in the dangers of cat flaps.
Morning, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks, boss. What have you put someone in, or what have you been put in?
I was about two and a half, and my brother's about 2.5 years older than me. And when I was born, he got, like, ridiculously jealous. Probably because I was more attractive and all that sort of stuff.
Gosh.
And so he...
Was he an ugly boy?
He was and still is.
He's an ugly man now. Are you still good-looking, or have you...
Well, I don't like to blow my own trumpet, but yeah. So, yeah, we used to live in a little cottage by the seaside with my mum. And he one day just decided to pull me out of the living room and try and shove me through a cat flap. And yeah, he laughed as well. And I was quite a heavy set kid.
Good looking, but lardy.
Bonnie.
Yeah. Bonnie baby.
Yeah, I enjoyed my porridge.
Yeah.
So I got stuck. He managed to get my head and my right arm through. So I was doing some sort of Superman pose. But he got the left shoulder stuck. And then instead of trying to kind of pull me out by my legs or pull me out with my hand, he then just repeatedly kind of kicked me.
He kicked him!
And just kept giving me kind of this shove with the bottom of his shoe through the door. And then when I obviously started crying, And so my mum came running, only to see me, and from all accounts burst out laughing, and then went and got the camera, then came back with the camera. And it wasn't like, this was like, I mean, I'm 26 now, so what was that, 24 years ago?
Yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't like it was a quick point and shoot thing. It was like,
she had to set it all up, get the light right, and everything.
She had to take it to the chemist after, and having to have to
cloth over the head, all that sort of stuff. And it was horrendous, absolutely horrendous. And yeah.
But it's not affected you, has it, Robbie?
No, not at all. I mean, I just avoid cat flaps.
So let's reflect. No matter what danger your children get into, be ready to take a picture.
I feel we've educated you enough during this podcast, so from now on, we'll just entertain. Turns out we don't know how to entertain, but the eagle-eared amongst you would have heard my stomach rumbling. So here's some stuff that won't entertain you.
Morning, folks.
All together now.
We wish you a reggae Christmas. We wish you a reggae Christmas. We wish you a reggae Christmas and a reggae New Year.
Morning, Peter.
Good morning.
Morning, and would you like to join us in wishing everybody a reggae Christmas?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Would you like to sing the song, Peter?
No, not particularly.
Oh.
My voice is not as well as good as it used to be.
Well, now, listen, now we know that you've lived after you slept, I think you said, with 15 Page 3 girls yesterday. Would you? I think people would love to hear you singing Reggae Christmas. So shall I tee it up? You ready, Peter?
No, I can't sing that.
Peter, here we go. Just Peter on his own. Oh, no, gosh, that's not it. Hang on a second. Just Peter on his own, guys.
Folks.
Over to you, Pete.
I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
No, 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 no. No, it's a reggae Christmas.
Yeah, well, I did it the English way of doing reggae.
Well, okay, just strike now. We wish you a reggae Christmas.
We do. No, no, I can't do that.
Go on, Peter, just practice it. Just practice.
No. I really can't
do
that.
All right, here we go. Just Peter on his own.
Morning, folks.
Here we go. We wish you a reggae Christmas, Pete. Here we go.
We wish you a reggae Christmas. We wish you a reggae Christmas. We wish you a reggae Christmas and a Happy New Year.
So close. So close. It's a reggae Christmas and a reggae New Year. One
wow,
more take.
That was close enough.
Not for me, it wasn't. One more take, Pete, and then we've got it. One, two, three.
We wish you a reggae Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas.
Oh, it's a reggae Christmas.
No, I don't want to do...
Do the reggae Christmas, Pete, please.
I'm not going to do a reggae Christmas. I'm going to do a traditional Christmas.
I tell you what, do us a favour. Do the reggae Christmas.
Yeah.
Where you go.
I wish you a reggae Christmas. I wish you a reggae Christmas. I wish you a reggae Christmas and a Happy New Year.
I'll buy that. I'll buy that one, fella. Well done. You're a good sport.
Here we go. What's your name, by the way?
Rhonda.
Nice to meet you, Rhonda.
Wish you a reggae Christmas. We wish you a reggae Christmas. We wish you a reggae Christmas and a reggae New Year.
Yes, Rhonda, that was beautiful. You're in the mood for Christmas, for a reggae Christmas now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in the mood for reggae Christmas.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Wagwan.
Wagwan.
George, after three. One, two, three.
We wish you a reggae Christmas. We wish you a reggae Christmas. We wish you a reggae Christmas and a reggae New Year.
Madam, what's your name?
Norma.
Norma. The reggae Christmas song. You've been listening to Ian today. Tell us your thoughts on the reggae song.
I think it's brilliant. Every single day he's got to sing that. He's got to sing it.
So when you heard it, it made you feel good.
Yes, it did. It did.
Fantastic. You know what's coming next, don't you?
No, I'm not going to sing it for you.
We wish you a reggae Christmas.
We wish you a reggae Christmas and a reggae New Year.
And all together, that's the end.
You're welcome.
Welcome.
Hi. I thought that went really well. We actually spoke like real BBC people.
Well, if I am a real BBC person.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Bum bum.
Did the exam in that.
Bum bum chop. You can't say bum bum chop.
Thanks for listening to this free download from BBC Three Counties Radio, your local radio station for Beds, Hearts and Bucks on FM, AM, digital radio and online at bbc.co.uk/threecounties.